This is an Alliance podcast.
What's up?
What it do? What it do?
Everybody dying up here. What y'all doing?
I mean, well, it's the whole country is hotter than shit. Oh, my bad. I wasn't supposed to cuss, but whatever. It's hot as hell.
It's literally Hades in the Northwest. Like,
although I have AC, so I'm like in a long sleeve t-shirt and some shorts.
People up here do not have AC. So,
but it's 80 something degrees. It should not be this hot in Los Angeles. Ain't nobody. I didn't pay to live in the southern heat in the southern portion of California. I don't know what this is. Oh, but wait. My bad.
It's 80, you say?
It's 80 something. I know. It's like,
I would take that right now. It feels like 95 degrees and it is not quite 8 o'clock.
Okay. Before we talk about your struggle situation. Uh-huh. By the way, hello people. I'm Sky. Yes. And I'm, you know, straight up out them SWATs. That Southwest Atlanta too strong. How we do it all day long. The home of the Atlanta Hawks. The 404. But currently, I'm in the Southern California. The 3110 with that beach decor. And I'm with the homie.
What's up?
Also near the, wait. Also in the Wild Wild West. Who are you?
Okay, fine. What's up, y'all? This is Sills from VA. All day, two up, two down. Right now, I'm in the Pacific Northwest. So if you hear the AC running in the background, you're going to have to deal with it because it's dangerously hot outside, even at night. And actually really concerned about people. They got cooling stations and everything. People don't have AC out here. So it's a real struggle. Yes, just keep people in your prayers. Hope we survive this. It doesn't break until about Friday. And even then, it's only in the 90s. So,
Struggling. This is going to be a long intro, but we are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
And so, this week, what we talk about? I guess, wait, I'm starting this off. Yeah. So this week we are talking about the Mad Saturday. That was a full slate of NWSL matches.
Absolutely. We have a long list of superlatives because this week was bliggity black.
Black! Bliggity, bliggity, bliggity back, y'all. Yes. I'm black. I'm bliggity, bliggity. Wait, that's not right.
And I'm black, y'all. And yeah. I'm bliggity black. And I'm black, y'all. Okay.
Hey. And then, we're going to talk about the U.S. Women's National Team roster.
Yeah.
That includes some surprises and predictions going forward.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. We will briefly discuss the LFG documentary, which Sky finished and I did not, but I think we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, as always, we're going to bring our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week, which will be interesting. Oh, we got a shout out at the end. But anyway, yes. Let's get into it.
All right.
Let's talk about these matches. Yes. There were some midweek games. There were in-week games. There were all the games and boom, boom, boom. So Midweek, we had the NWSL Kansas City situation playing the Orlando Pride.
Yes.
And this is important for Orlando Pride for the later game that happens. But anyway, Orlando Pride came out and shined. They had 3 goals compared to Kansas City's uno. But it was all a part of the brown and black people were the people who scored the goals.
Yes.
So shout out to everybody. Sydney LaRue had a brace. She had 2 goals. Yes. The great legend, the GOAT, Marta, had 1.
Yes.
And how do you say her name?
Laroquette. Yes.
The Argentinian.
Yo.
Yo, I'm sorry.
Yes. We do over. Argentinian. Yes.
She had a phenomenal goal. I watched that game and that was quite interesting situation. Yeah. Sydney was balling, of course. Marta was balling. It was a lot of ballage happening. Yes. Kansas City, oh, poor babies.
Yeah.
Jessica Silva was all over the place. But yeah,
Kansas City confounds me. So they have good pieces and they don't typically get blown out.
Yeah. But
they can't, they'd struggle to win a lot of games, which is the opposite of Washington, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
And then midweek, we also had the Courage versus Racing, Louisville.
We got you, Jorian. Yes. And yo, Liv Williams, she played relieve and scored her first brace of the week.
Yes.
She got two goals in and tap dance on Louisville. Like, yes. They effectively, I mean, Ebony Salmon, she didn't start this game. Jorian did. But we had it was a spastic lineup. Anyway, basically, yeah, North Carolina Courage did what they wanted to.
The underdog Courage, yes.
The underdog Courage came through. They scored. Lynn scored like the 27th and 33rd minute, I think.
Something like that. They were pretty close together.
So it's pretty close. And it was like, okay, we see you out here, Lynn, doing this thing. And we'll talk about what happened that made her relieve later. But in terms of Saturday, we had a ridiculous Super Saturday where we had a bajillion, quadrillion.
Everyone played bajillion. On Saturday.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about...
I mean, we might as well get it out of the way.
Do we want to talk about that game first? Or do you want to talk about the other game that happened that technically was supposed to happen before it? Or are you ready to jump into...
No, let's just get it out of the way.
Okay, so on Saturday, there was hot weather. So technically Saturday, two games probably should not have played, shouldn't have happened. One particular shouldn't have happened because they was playing in a kiddie pool by the time they started playing on the field. But the other game, it was a bajillion degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the homies OL Reign losing 3-0 to the NJ Gotham FC greatness bliggity black situation.
Yes.
Tacoma. Do you want to start this off? Or
sure, why not?
Are you ready to talk? Because you was sighing. You wouldn't even talk to me. You wouldn't even talk to me. Thank goodness the homie was with you because she was letting me know. She was tweeting me and letting me know how you was doing. Because you was all upset.
Shout out to Carrie who suffered through the game with me. Though she was happy because Gotham scored three times. and at least the three people that scored were were delegates. And so I felt not as bad. I called one of those goals. Like in terms of who would score them.
Oh, okay.
So I was at the game in person and it was a pretty sparse crowd because it was, I think, at the height of the match, midday, over 100 degrees.
Oh, Lord Jesus Christ.
Upside, I tanned. I'm no longer my winter color. So that's exciting. I also burned my nose burned a little bit. So that's fun.
Oh, Lord.
I knew before the match how this was going to happen. And that first goal was right in front of my face. And I literally just sighed and shook my head for about 2 minutes. So I will tell you this. The game was fairly even. I thought Mitch Purse had a lot of joy on that right side. She just had space. I thought in terms of the other side, if he was playing up top for Gotham and got a goal, which was not on Alana Cook, who was basically responsible for defending her and had shut her down really well. Alana Cook in person is a beast and she should be playing defense for the national team. You're not going to get a lot past her. She's a very good defender. She's just a really good stand-up defender, plays angles well. She's not super fast, but she doesn't have to be. She reminds me of Becky in that way. But anyway, so before the match, I was sitting in the vaccinated section, which also has a bar. And I might have had, it was so hot I drank beer, and I hate beer. But that's how hot it was. And I said before the match to the other fans in the section, our goalkeeper comes too high off of her line. I'm really scared she's going to get scored on for doing that. And as if in slow motion, if he breaks away, there's a pass over the top. I believe it's a Midge.
Yes.
And Sarah's like outside of the box. And I was just like, oh, God. Oh, God. And sure enough, takes a move. I think she crosses left, goes around and hooks it in. And the defenders can't get to the line in time to stop the goal, and they go up 1-0, and pretty much there's no going back after that. Yeah. We did get out of the half 1-0, and then they scored 2 goals on us in the second half. The second one was by Midge Purse. We'll talk about her later. But
she banged that thing.
She was Sarah. She was playing with some extra oomph for sure. And I got to see her in person. I did not yell to get her attention because I thought that would have been weird. But I thought about it. Like, literally could see her coming off the tunnel. And most of the team, actually. So it's very interesting to see people you watch on TV that close to you in person. And yeah, all three of those could essentially be contributed to not great goalkeeping decisions. We were able to possess the ball. I don't know if we have a game plan. I'd like to talk to our coach about that.
Yeah, no game plan at all.
Because there wasn't a lot happening there, especially on the attacking side.
Not at all.
Defense is okay. I think, again, if they had more chemistry with the goalkeeper, if the goalkeeper is making different decisions, it would be a lot better, right? Because they're having to cover. And the issue is now everyone in the league knows. That's how Sarah Buhadi has always played. But everybody in the league knows it, and they're going to take full advantage of it. So I don't know who the goalkeeping coach is for our team, but Godspeed, because you're going to have to do some work. You cannot come out that far in the NWSL. It's not going to work. There's too much speed. People are too good on the ball with that speed for you to be coming out that regularly. And it's just some decision-making is going to have to change. I hope for our sake it does. I hope being in the league improves that. But other than that, I sat in 100-something degrees to watch us lose 3-0. Okay. So, yeah.
So can I?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
All right. Also, shout out Dami Richardson.
Yes. Yes.
For scoring another goal on Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah Buhadi. Sarah B.
You got scored on by a defender, fam.
Like, I knew immediately.
That's rough.
It was iffy image earlier. I was like, uh-oh, Sarah.
Ford should score on you.
Defender. Wait, no. Wait, we're talking about no. Before we even, I won't even talk about it first off. Hold on. I saw immediately. I was like, Sarah, you can't do this game. You can't do this game. You can't be off your line. Because it was earlier before the goal happened, the first goal happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple times Iffy and Midge came sprinting down the field, wild and free. And they almost got Sarah because she came out the box. And I was like, Sarah. And then it happened. So yeah, it was like slow motion because I was like, Iffy's about to score. You're coming too far. And then boom. Oh, and then keep in mind, and it definitely was going to score because Midge was about to come through the box and Sarah bodied her. It was Shay on Shay Crom.
That was right in front of my face, too.
Yeah.
That was rough.
And so I was like, Midge already mad. She gonna bang one on you. And then sure enough, a few minutes later, Midge came through and cut back and boom, bang. And Sarah on the ground. Like, why? Then Dami had a defender get you.
Yep.
We can't be doing this, Sarah. We can't be doing this. Mm-hmm. See, you can't be doing this. You got too much talent. Now, the other person who needs to have a talking to, because Sarah needs to, we got to have film session with her because Sarah has caused a few goals in the last two games that they lost the games where y'all should have drew.
Yeah.
But even if she was fumbling the bag as a goalkeeper, y'all have too much talent on this team for it to be non-scoring situations or losing situations because y'all still should be putting up more goals. But Benstidi, I don't know what he's doing. If in the past he just had a bunch of talent, so they just figured it out or something, but he's got to coach because I don't know what these rotations are. We're putting out players that make no sense for the team they're playing against. You got different pairings. Like, it's foolishness. And then people aren't finishing because there is the issue that they haven't played together. But Benstidi, if he puts certain people together, right, then they went, like, keeping Ziara King off the pitch, keeping Sophia Huerta off the pitch, keeping various combinations off the pitch when it makes no sense, or even Z and Pruitt with now Lisa Mayer. Like, you need to, you can't be doing this foolishness that you're doing because you're going to be losing games. And it's like, you have no business losing.
If you need an identity.
Y'all do need the identity. Y'all up here, what, you the New Orlando?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I was sitting at the game. It's like, this is a very pre-2021 Orlando situation happening.
Yes. Yeah, like there's no identity. Y'all need to figure that out because you got no business to have all this talent. Mero serving beautiful
and it's
balls.
So good in person. Like the individual talent, like
it's phenomenal
to see Mero in person. Mitsume is so fast in person.
So fast.
And like just cutting up that right side and like that Gotham back line is legit. But
they are legit.
There's no reason we shouldn't be able to score goals. And we had chances. And that's the difference between goalkeepers. Kaylin Sheridan did her job. Yeah. we had some decent looks. And
y'all had some decent looks. I mean, yeah. Some of it was the ancestral hand. I don't know if it's ancestral or the heat hand. I don't know. It was, I mean, it was hot as hell, but it definitely should have been a 0-0 game, more likely than not.
Yeah.
But Sarah B was messing up and Ben Steedy didn't help the situation. And so it's like, at some point, y'all got to have a conversation because y'all got too much talent. Like, y'all should be whooping people's behinds. If they continue to lose,
right?
Because even if you do, well, we will talk about in a future episode. If we do what I think we will do, I said we, y'all will become we if y'all do this. If y'all do what I think y'all will do, y'all at least need to be in the competition to get into the playoffs. Well, y'all can't be messing around.
Right.
So if you can't get it together, then you got to have a chance.
And we have a chance. We have a chance because, like, we're not losing. Of course, we're losing Rapinoe. We're losing LaBelle, who didn't play. So she didn't play after the international break. And then we're losing Quinn as well. But outside of that, we have all of our talent. It's not... We're not going to have a huge drop off, but you still got to be able to coach that. There's no reason we shouldn't be able to run through most of our, you know, opponents in that time frame, particularly because the first, seven games, which I think Gotham was the last one, we were playing the top of the table, right? And that's not to dismiss. This is a league where anybody can win any day.
Well,
but you should be able to set these lineups now where we should be getting points from every game.
Yes.
Because we're playing people who are also at the bottom of the table with us. And other teams are losing more pieces. So now is the time.
Yes.
And like I said, like you said, Z didn't play. I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't know if she was just getting her rest before. Obviously, she's going to have to be on for about a month. But this game could have used her in terms of just running at that Gotham back line. Because a lot of people haven't really tried that. And I think it would be interesting to see them step up in defense when people are basically running at them from all sides. So like if I had Lissame and Huerta and King running at me, I might make different decisions. So yeah, I was confused in person, but that's what drinks are for and good companies for. Shout out to the supporters. Like they were all hilarious, like truly kept me entertained despite us getting our behind kicked. So yeah,
y'all need a support group. Understand, Dr. Sky is here.
Okay,
I'm here for y'all. But anyway, let's talk about this next game.
Yeah,
we're gonna briefly talk about this mess. So, somebody has a rant later about this, but there was in Chicago, there was horrible weather, so this game got delayed about 2 hours.
Yes.
The Red Stars play the Racing Louisville.
Yes.
At home. And they ended up getting whooped 3-0 as they were playing in a flooded field. Okay, it wasn't really flooded, but they shouldn't have been playing this game.
No.
It wasn't safe. You even to a point where Mallory Pugh went flying damn near off the field and hit her head. It looked like she hit her head on the ground after some play. And it was like, you really shouldn't be playing. I hated playing games like that as a player and feel that like wet. But Chicago got worked. And a lot of it, I mean, even the goals, like the first goal that happened.
Yeah.
Like Alyssa couldn't get to the ball in time because I think it ricocheted and then she couldn't get to it. And then other people were unmarked on set pieces. And so... Yuki and Savannah score goals on their all team, but the highlight goes to Ebony Salmon.
Of course.
Because yes. Baby girl did that.
Yeah.
Miss Overrated.
Overrated. Apparently.
She came through, Shawty. She came through and did that. She scored a beautiful goal. I was like, Ebony!
Yes. She's gonna have herself a season. Yeah, this league is tailor-made for her. Like, I'll beat that drum forever. Yeah, she's gonna have some goals. She might be in this golden boot conversation.
She very well. At the clip she's going, because now she has about over, it's like 60-something% of the Louisville goals.
That she's played in two games, and
she's only played two games. Yeah,
two games, three goals.
Three.
She
played earlier in the week.
Yeah. But she's only started one, right?
Yeah, she only started one.
Yeah.
But the game she started, she's got goals.
Yep.
So, but that game never should happen. And somebody has a rant about that later.
Yeah.
But on to the North Carolina Courage situation, playing, underdog.
Right.
Playing the Portland Thorns in Cary, North Carolina.
And, yeah, so Crystal Dunn's return to the Courage.
Yeah, unfortunately, Portland lost 2-0 because who?
Because Lynn Williams had herself a week. She had a brace this game as well. And I think I took it as anger, but I think Sky made a good point. Lynn is relieved, and when she is relieved, she plays a lot freer, right? Like, it's very obvious she was in her head leading up to the roster selection, which we will talk about later. And I think now that that weight is off of her shoulders, she can play freely, and the results are very evident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I don't know what Portland was doing.
So we got to talk. Okay. So I saw that lineup while I was at the game, or no, when I was coming back from the game. Mm-hmm. And it was a 4-3-1-2. So upside, Crystal Dunn is at the 10.
Yes. Okay. That's beautiful.
None of it outside of that made sense. So you had Charlie and Sinclair up top.
Yes.
And those are two different speeds.
Yes.
And like, I know Christine Sinclair has adapted her game, but you asking a lot.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
And then they had Morgan Weaver in the midfield on the right.
Yes.
I'm assuming you put Weaver on that three line. You put Weaver on the left and Rodriguez on the right with the idea, I guess, that they can run in that space since you only have the 10 in Crystal. But again, if Weaver's going to run, she's on the same side as Sinclair, right? Like, at some point, they're going to be in the same space.
Yes.
That it was just a really odd setup. Like, I'm not sure what that was supposed to do, particularly because Sinclair's getting ready to leave for at least 2 weeks. So, like, and I assume more because I think Canada gets out that group. So, I don't know what we were going for there.
I don't. It was
right. And I know Horan didn't play, right?
No, she didn't.
So, I mean, that clearly threw things off for them. But yeah, it was just a really weird setup to try to figure out how to work around Horan not being in that midfield.
Yeah, it was really.
Yeah, I'm just sure if that was the case, why not just give the time to people who are going to be there?
Right.
Once the Olympics start, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess he was toying with the formation because he's trying to figure out what it's going to look like. But I was like, it can't look like that.
But you can't start. If that's the case, why would you play Dunn and Sinclair in those roles? Like, they're not going to be there.
Yeah. And this needed to be a game you at least needed to draw because you're going to lose people.
Right.
Now, it's not going to be as bad as North Carolina where they're losing Sam.
Right. They're losing their goal scoring. Yeah.
Ursic.
Yeah. Dang. Like, yeah, they're losing a lot.
Yeah, you're losing a lot. So it's gonna be like, what are they putting out there? I don't know. Well, Portland should be fine as long as we don't do experiments like that again.
They should be. And they have their strikers, like they have their three
young strikers. They should be fine. North Carolina, I don't know.
Outside of Jess McDonald, I don't know where you're getting those goals, but they all play off of each other. So that's gonna be
be
rough.
It's gonna be real underdog like. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a lot of character building.
Yeah.
Cause I was gonna be like, well, they got their rookie, but no, they don't. She's playing overseas. Yes. So, it's 2 weeks. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't doubt Paul Riley will figure that out. But yeah, it was super questionable and it clearly didn't work, right? Like Lynn Williams had herself a game, right? So the defense wasn't able to stop that and they weren't really able to generate like a ton of opportunities. It was just a very odd choice in terms of timing to do that and who the personnel was. And could be injuries, could be giving people rest. I didn't see Sophia Smith in the lineup at all.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm not sure what that's about. It looked like a pretty small lineup. So maybe he didn't have, Mark Parsons didn't have a lot of options. I don't know. Right. But it was just very odd. That was my big takeaway from that. And then obviously Lynn Williams was the highlight of that match.
Right, right. And so then we have the Houston-Orlando.
Yes.
Orlando.
You saw that.
Wait. So Orlando lost 2-1 to Houston. That game was a lot of Orlando looked tired. They had their best lineup out there, but they looked kind of tired because they played on Wednesday and then they were in the Houston Heat. And yeah. it was a lot of what is going on, Orlando, because Ashlyn Harris made mistakes that caused goals. So you had, I think, the Chrissy Mewis score. What's her name? Sanchez scored her first last goal because she's going back to Tigris. And yes. It was crazy. But then, no fear, Orlando, what's her name? Young's daughter, she scored
in
the second half. She scored on Jane Campbell, who jumped into the goal.
Oh my God. So I saw this goal. I didn't get to see the game, obviously, because I was still recovering from the heat. But I saw that clip later. So it's a set piece, isn't it? And it's the set piece, and Campbell jumps on the side of the line, like into the net. There's no conceivable way you can stop a ball from crossing the line when you're on the side of the line, where if it crosses, it's a goal.
As a goalie, I'm still trying to. So I watched that clip a few times, and I was trying to understand the logic. Because there have been times where I've been too far up. I was too far up, and then I had a goal fly over my head. I ain't never had no instance where I personally jumped behind the line into the goal. Where if I would have just stood there. So it's one thing if you're in front of the line, that is the goal.
Right.
As a goalie, and the ball goes past you. And it's like, okay, whatever. Or it happens too fast that you can't get to it where you could have got to it. But you're not, I've never seen no crap where literally if she just stays where she is, if the ball hits her and it ricochets and goes in the goal, whatever. But if she stays where she is, that ball probably doesn't go in the goal. She jumped back. Like, I ain't never seen that. That's new. I'm trying to rationalize it. Maybe somebody can help me in understanding. Maybe we got it messed up. Maybe we tripping.
Listen, I've never been a goalkeeper. I didn't play organized soccer. But I feel like basic tenet is you should be in front of the line.
You should be. And
or at least on it. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, the only time you normally, I never went to goal because I would have fought some. I mean, I was an interesting goalkeeper. The only time you should ever be falling in the goal is because you and your defenders went flying into the goal because y'all was trying to stop something. Or you go into the goal because you tried to stop something and you went falling down and then you end up rolling into the goal or something. Right. Or, yeah, something, it gets, people come colliding into you, you go fall. You never voluntarily just drop back into the goal unless you're going to pick up a ball that got kicked in the goal or it's left in, like, practice. Like, they're practicing shots on you or something. I never seen no stuff like that happen in game. And then she was pointing at her defenders. And I'm like, who are you pointing at, man? Like,
what were they supposed to do in that situation?
Like, I don't know.
It's your job first to keep the ball out. Like, if they're on the line with you, that's fine. But again, it was just so weird. And I'm like, I know she's been a goalkeeper long enough that doesn't make sense. I don't know if she had a brain freeze. Like, it was just so weird.
I mean, maybe it was because it was so hot. It was a weird game.
Maybe.
It was like, what is going on? The whole game was weird. She's fortunate that game wasn't, that didn't allow Orlando to draw.
Right.
But yeah.
And I mean, it's been a weird weekend for goalkeeping anyway. So she didn't even make the most egregious mistake. But it was just very weird.
But before we leave that, as I predicted last year, this year when the fiance of this particular individual was going to go to North Carolina College.
Yeah.
Orlando acquired Amy Turner from Manchester United Women, who will be a center back, and she's really, really good. She's really underrated as a center back. Even for the disaster classes, she was pretty solid. So she's going to be a good acquisition for Orlando in that rotation back there. But I don't know what to say. It gets better, Orlando. First loss, but they're still at the top of the table, so it's all good.
And I think Amy Turner will learn a lot from playing.
Yes, she will.
Just in terms of how to defend. Yeah, I think it'll be good for both sides. It's a good signing. Yeah. And you did. You can say I told you so if you want to. You called it.
Well, yeah. I mean, just legendary greatness. But anyway, Kansas City, the NWSL situation that's on the struggle bus, play the Washington, D.C. Spirit. And unfortunately for them, they lost 2-1 in the last game.
Yeah.
And so from highlights for this little situation, I mean, Andy Sullivan was upset and angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
As she should be.
She should.
But she was setting up plays. Tori Huster.
Huster.
She was balling. She's been balling all season.
She's been really good this year.
And she helped set up what ended up happening to be the two goals for the game. Ashley Sanchez, wait, is that right?
Yeah, it's Ashley Sanchez.
Ashley Sanchez got a goal. And then the highlight reel, the greatness, the young one, the baby blend of Kristen Preston and Toby.
And the dying minute.
Trinity Rodman scored the winning goal. You need to go watch that.
I saw it.
It was I'm just telling the people, if they didn't see it, you need to go watch that, because it came off the right side and she cooked somebody up. I mean, she had this phenomenal cutback. She had a Kristen Press cutback from the right, and turned and kicked it and it scored a goal. I was like, Trinity.
I believe her victim was Rachel Corsi.
It was Rachel Corsi.
Bless.
Dang, she did. Yeah, Rachel.
It was brutal. I saw that move and I literally just screamed, oh, it's baby Kristen.
Baby Kristen Press. Like, she did it better. She did the cutback better on the right than Kristen does it on the right.
Right. Because Kristen obviously is her preference is the left side.
Right.
So I will say the touch back was a smidge heavy, but she's so quick. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, and she was able to still square it, thinking it off the outside of her foot.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Did she shoot that right or left footed? I can't remember.
I can't. But it was
a missile. Like that wasn't getting stopped.
Froze everybody.
And Abby Smith wasn't in goal at that point, right?
Yeah, it froze everybody. Everybody was froze. Like, wait, what just happened?
Right.
Because they probably too was like, is Kristen Press on the field?
It was just, I've seen that move before. Like, it was very surreal. And she also had an assist in that match too.
Yes, she
Ashley
did.
Sanchez off of the wonderful pass from Tori Huster.
Yep.
And like you said, Andy Sullivan, probably a little angry these days.
Angry, she should be.
And she should be. She's a very good six. If I think if it was 23 versus 18, she'd be on the roster.
Wait. We will talk about that.
But she has a right to be angry. She's very good. And she deserves more love than she's getting.
Yeah,
she's honestly had a great season so far too. So if league play matters, what do I know?
We'll get to that in a second. Okay. But let's get into these superlatives.
Yes.
So the Shea Butter Bomb of the week.
I mean, there were several options, but we gave it to Trinity Rodman because it was the game-winning goal. And like we said, in the dying minutes of stoppage time in the second half. So it was filthy. And she put somebody on the ground.
Yep. And so we got two new word alerts. Alert. So we got this new thing called a Shea Butter Boom.
Yes.
That's when you have a booming goal. Typically, Colazo.
Yeah.
Because we got to have different kinds. Because you got like the small, you got a Shea Butter Bomb. I mean, it is a goal by Black people. But like a Golazo? Like a boom? Like a boom?
Yes.
Because today, Pogba had a bomb boom in a game. We won't talk about that game because the delegation ended up losing. But that was a boom in this situation. So hence the Shea Butter Boom was born. But
if he had one. That I saw in person. It was right in front of my face. So it was a very good goal. We didn't have one quite outside the box this week, but that was probably the closest to it. And she pulled it. I mean, the goalkeeper was outside the box, so it counts, I guess. And then our second term is the Shea Butter hat trick.
Yeah, so that actually was from a member of the squad, Nubia. We see you out here.
Yes.
Homie on the Twitter.
Yes.
Said, hey, so if three delegates score, isn't that like a Shea Butter hat trick?
Hey.
Hey! And so guess what? Gotham FC had a wonderful, phenomenal Shea Butter hat trick. Because Iffy gotta go, Midge gotta go, and Dami gotta go. Yep. And when you had that happening, that's a Shea Butter hat trick because the delegation came through.
They did. I saw it again. Saw it in person. So I was happy that it was a Shea Butter hat trick.
Happy
even
you
if
lost.
It was against my team. And it was Shea on Shea and Shea on Shea crime at that.
It was a lot of Shea on Shea violence this weekend.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
But it happens in this world for greatness. The Shea Butter Dime of the Week. I mean, that's hard.
It's tough. Yeah.
From who?
We have Trinity, who got hers falling down, much a la Crystal Dunn week before. And then Mitch Purse, who assisted Iffy on her.
Yep. And then the Shea Butter and one of the week goes to Trinity Rodman for that cutback.
It's a theme at this point. But yes, she puts money on the ground. So you tend to win that if you do that.
And then the Shea Butter Brick of the Week went to who?
So it's interesting. Okay, Estelle Johnson, who came in for Mandy Freeman, who went out of the match in the first half. So I made a comment on Twitter, like, that backline of Gotham's is full of grown-ass women. They straight up can defend. Like I said, I'd be interested to see what it is to continually run at them with speed. I won't say the P word. but I see you, Estelle. You slick.
Hey, still be balling. She's a very good defender. I wish she was playing for a national team.
She was
doing some professional defending. She was
professional defender. Yeah.
She was getting it. She got y'all. She was professional. She did some illegal stuff, but it was professional. That's a good defender. You should have known though. If we out here sliding in the ground, sliding in the rain, practicing slides, and we are that flawless, I figured. I was wondering, because actually there was another game I saw her, and I was like, she ain't gonna get called for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Courtney once used, like, bend but don't break, something along those lines, and the entire back line is black and brown, so we respect it out here defending for the culture, so.
Right.
Again, sucks that it was against my team, but I wanted to give a shout out to her.
And there's a Shea Butter mic check. I mean, honestly, in y'all's little game, Gotham versus, I mean, it was several mic checks before they became called.
Yeah, well.
Hey, actually, you know what? I could say Midge probably gets a mic check because isn't that probably what caused her to get bodied by Sarah B?
Well, okay. That's probably more of a heat check. So she
I'm saying. Yeah, she got. So Midge heat checked her on that goal. Midge gets the heat check of the week.
When she ran into her?
Yes. But I'm saying, when she essentially was trying to go beast into the box, I mean, I thought she had like a whatever. There were mic checks all over the place, but you can just say that game. But yeah, Midge gets the heat check. Mm-hmm. Because she did that on Sarah.
Well, and our defense was decent. It was just the last, you know, the last defender, which is the goalkeeper. But she did come out early. Midge was making a run right at goal and ran into her. It's a little less brutal than when Jane Campbell took Midge out.
Yeah.
And they didn't call that either. They didn't call this one. I guess in theory, Sarah was going for the ball. But yeah, it was close. I was a little concerned for Midge for 2 seconds, but she got up. And she did not seem woozy this time. So yeah, I was there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can skip that one. Let's go.
No. And the Shea Butter, we gotta give props to the
I'm not skipping. I mean, we can go past the heat check one now. I'm good.
The Shea Butter get your fits right. Shea Butter styling. It goes to the LRA. They was out here shining for the last week of the Pride Month.
They were. And so ZR King wasn't in the lineup. But it turns out it's because she was in the stands on Saturday. Did not see her. Wasn't thinking that's where she would be. And it was Pride Day on Saturday, so it was very gay. Like, there was part of a sign that said, go gays. And it was truly an awesome experience. I have my collector's fan, which is a Pride fan, and the program, which has Fish Lock the God on it. So, yeah, it was a truly enjoyable and welcoming environment. And I sat, if it makes people feel better. So, yeah, it was just chilling. And both teams actually know. So that was very... I rarely see that. So, yeah, it was so hot. But yes, out here styling despite the heat. So props for that.
Props. And so, to conclude our superlatives, the Shea Butter FC Player of the Week goes to the one and only Lynn Williams.
Yeah.
Williams. She did that this week. She got 4 goals this week, y'all.
Yes, she did.
Some people can't get 4 goals in a season.
She hit 4 or 5 this season.
I think she has the most goals in the league.
She might be tied. Yeah, she has the most, or she's tied for the most.
I think she
She's the most. She should be the most.
Balling. Yeah.
And did it in a weekend. Like, did it in a span of, like, what, 3 days? Something like that.
Yeah.
We said, don't stress Lynn out, because if she's not stressed, she's MVP Golden Boot Lynn Williams. So maybe we should not stress her out.
We actually, you know what, we're going to talk about that. But right now, we're going to talk about that real soon. But right now, we need to take a break as we finish our superlatives and coverage of the NWSL chaos of the weekend and the week. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Olympic roster.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about Let's Fucking Go. My bad. LFG. We're going to talk about that movie when we come back.
All right.
FCC going to see about me. We'll be back.
All right.
This week on the Florida Culture Talker Podcast, soccer podcast for us, by us, we are back with a brand new episode this week, and we're joined by the T-Pub Queen herself, Kara Ziegler, as we talk about the first group of the Euros, who's hot, who's not, who we like going into the knockout rounds. We talk about the Hawks making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we talk about the home team's new third kit and the Juneteenth T-Pub unveiled here in Atlanta. Join me, Grego, TK, and Vera on your favorite podcast apps and the FTC UTD YouTube channel. Singing this early.
Wait till we get to the hits and rush.
Oh lord.
All right, but anywho, let's talk about this.
Yeah, so, let's do it.
The first portion, now that we're back from break, we're going to talk about the U.S. women's national team roster.
Yes.
Now, remember the last episode we had our predictions?
Yeah.
Well, we did tell you we had another roster, and it kind of looked a little like this. And we didn't talk about that one because it was going to make us angry, but here we are. So who made the roster before we go the fuck off?
I actually think the one I thought Blacko would pick was pretty accurate. Okay. So our final roster of 18 and 4 alternates, goaltenders are going to be Alyssa Nair and Adriana French.
Mm-hmm.
Defenders are Kelly O'Hara, Crystal Dunn, Abby Dahlkemper, Becky Sauerbrunn, Emily Sonnet, Tierna Davidson. Midfielders are Samantha Mewis, Rose Lavelle, Lindsay Horan, Julie Ertz, Christy Mewis.
Mm-hmm.
And forwards are Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd, Kristen Press, Megan Rapinoe, and Tobin Heath.
Mm-hmm.
And our four alternates and goal is going to be Jane Campbell, who we just talked about. And then our three alternate field players are Lynn Williams, Casey Krueger, and Katarina Macario.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about this.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Now, I figured, I knew. Well, we'll start from the back. Their top two goalkeepers, yes. Of course, we thought the same. Yes. I'm going to skip the back line for a second.
Yes.
In the midfield, I figured Julie Ertz was going to go if she was able to function. So this wasn't a surprise to me.
Yeah.
I had expectations for Christy Mewis.
Yes, I think we both had Christy Mewis.
Tobin Heath only didn't play the last series because they didn't think she was going to be healthy, so they didn't put her on the roster. Right. But for her to be brought into camp means she's like 100%.
Yes.
And from the pictures I seen today, her moving around, she's going to be playing in both of these games coming up. So it's not no surprise, the line.
Yes.
And we was taking Carly Lloyd.
Yeah, and we had all of that.
We understood that.
We understood.
Well, I didn't anticipate.
Okay.
Is that we were going to sit here and not only take Emily Sonnet, and probably on the condition that she could be the backup six for Julie Ertz.
Right.
When she plays on a team with Kelly O'Hara as a center back or a fullback at times on the Washington Spirit.
Right.
That Andy Sullivan, what's Andy's middle name? Andy Sullivan.
I have no idea.
Andy, who should be the six, Sullivan, has had to protect them game in and game out. She's appeared because they have been putting on defensive vibe classes back there.
Right.
And so you had the better six as an option. You have Emily Sonnet, who has not played solid football at a club level, and honestly at a club level, and definitely on a national team level. Like, right. did we forget what happened in that Brazil She Believes Cup game?
We did, apparently.
Where she got torched into oblivion. It was so bad, the whole team, Flacco had to substitute forward players out. He had to substitute forwards out, midfielders out, because they were having to cover for her getting cooked by Dabinia and Marta. Did we forget? Yes.
I'm a bit perplexed because I think in terms of just all around players, I think Huster and Sullivan have been Washington's best players.
Yes.
As that forward line clicks, obviously they come into the fold, but they're also very young. But I just think the identity of that team is those two players.
Yes. This is why that makes sense with that Andy, that Emily Sonnet is not only supposed to be the backup situation over Andy Sullivan, but then as a fullback, she hasn't been playing well, but you put Casey Krueger as an
Okay. So for me, the most confounding thing, well, we'll talk about another sub in a minute, but I was confused just because I think if you're taking Casey Krueger, she's in either in your 18 or she's not going.
Right.
Like her being the alternate, like I get it, she's a straight up defender, but if you need a straight up defender that badly, you would just put it in your 18. Why not take Casey Krueger as the last defender and then have Emily Sonnet be the alternate if you're going to do that?
Right.
Because
he's not a player.
If Julie Ertz is playing, right, which is we're assuming, though I think they're cutting it very close. But the assumption is, okay, you have somebody there if Julie Ertz is playing. If Emily Sonnet's an alternate, she's going to play anyway if Julie Ertz can't play. Whereas if I have Casey Krueger in my 18, if I need straight up defense, I can always bring her in. I can bring her in to spell Kelly O'Hara. I can bring her in to spell Crystal Dunn. She can join in the attack. Like, she's worked really hard on that part of her game. And she did it when we played Argentina and it worked really well. Mm-hmm. I think she had an assist in that game or something like that. So I would have, if you're going to do that, I would have swapped them. I would have taken somebody else instead, but I that one confounded me, and I think it confounded a lot of people.
Yeah, because it's like, what is the point? Like, if you're going to have her as an alternate, alternates don't get medals, by the way, y'all. So no. If you don't have her as an alternate, Like, what is the point? Because she can still be in Chicago. And you also got to keep in mind, like, he is not going to play Sonic when it matters. So you just wasting the roster spot.
That's why I'm confused.
Like, what are you doing?
I think between the World Cup and whatever game it was in the She Believes Cup, like, I've seen two different coaches not be super trusting of that.
Right.
When it matters, right? For all the noise, when the other coach was in the World Cup final and Kelly O'Hara goes down at half and she has to bring somebody in, she brought in Allie Krieger, who was off the team for 2.5 years.
Right.
But when she absolutely, we were scoreless and you need somebody you could trust, Emily Sonnet was on that bench. It wasn't, she didn't come in. And that would be the natural, in my mind, that would naturally be who would come in. And she bought in Allie Krieger. And now when it's important, I've seen Blacko do the same thing. Like, it's very confusing, right? Like, I think you're wasting an 18 spot. Like, the logic would be flip them if you're gonna do it.
And then my other thing is, like, if the issue is, well, Casey hasn't been with the squad, they're literally training with each other for the next 30 days and they're about to be tortured, go through conditioning, all this stuff to get the chemistry so they become a well-oiled machine in July. So it's like, there is no excuse as to why you have Casey Krueger on this roster as an alternate and not have her actually in the 18.
Right.
Because none of this makes sense.
Well, my other issue is she hasn't been in camp because you didn't call her in.
That too.
She was healthy. Like, last camp, she could have played. So I have my suspicions.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it might very well be based on what I think everybody sees is the biggest snub, which is Mitch Purse.
Lord Jesus Christ.
So she wasn't even an alternate. I don't know. I would think this is speculation, please. Allegedly, as Dean Samero say. Do we think she turned down the alternate spot?
I mean, it could be possible because, like I said, I said this in our little group chat we have. Yes. Because a lot of people didn't recognize, you don't get a medal as an alternate. So Kristen Press didn't get a medal. Like, people think she got a gold medal during the when they played in Great Britain years ago. No, she did not get a medal.
Nope.
And so as an alternate, you don't get a medal. So effectively you're going over there for fun 2 weeks. Now, this might be the Olympics where alternates do medal because they become a part of the roster.
Yeah.
Because of the situation, because we are in the middle of a pandemic and there's a whole Delta variant running around wild and free while y'all don't want to get vaccine. But I could totally see if she turned it down.
Yes.
Now, the flip side is she possibly didn't. She played really angry Saturday. So
yeah.
I don't think that was the case. So,
and it's all speculation. And I guess my biggest grievance is you had her do specific things with the national team in mind, right? Like, she is a forward who's played defender. You had her play forward in the first half of a national team game.
Mm-hmm.
And right back in the second half of the national team game.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I've heard Blackwood speak, like, there was a decision that she made in that game. I don't know what it is, right? I think he said something similar about Andy Sullivan. But even if that's the case, the best people to be alternates are the people who were like 25 and under.
Yes.
Right? It gives them that experience, quote unquote. Casey Krueger is almost 30.
Yes.
Right? Like, so you're taking her away, along with Tierna Davidson, by the way, from Chicago. No wonder Roy Dames looked ticked off on Wednesday.
Roy was pissed off.
He was heated, because I would be too. Like, if I'm him, so I'm like, okay, I can understand giving Tierna Davidson up, right? She's going to play.
Right.
You're asking me to send my best defender, because it's still Casey Krueger. I give Tierna another year or two. You're asking me to send my best defender to ride the bench in Japan. Like, when she could be playing. If I'm Paul Riley, I'm already giving up Sam Uvis and Abby Ersic and
Dabinia. And Abby Delkepper.
Well,
she's not there anyway, right? Just kidding.
You've lost Crystal Dunn in the trade. And now I'm giving up my top goal scorer and Lynn Williams again to ride the bench.
Yep.
Now, Paul seemed a little more apt to answer that question in a professional way and talk about the experience. And he mentioned the relief, I think, that Lynn has. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm just like, that I'd be heated as a coach. I'd be so ticked off because that affects my team and our ability to win the league when they're just riding the bench. And I don't understand. I don't know why alternates don't get medals. Like, I don't know the politics of that. But it's a bit maddening. And I get Midge Purse not going, right? It's better for her to play.
Right. But so here's my issue, though. What is the rubric? What is the standard for getting your ass on the national team? I'm about to go in.
Goalposts.
When the goalpost continues to move, because we said you had to perform well for country, you need to perform well for the national team for you to legitimately be considered on the roster. But now we have an egregious thing happening where you got two people who are alternates, where they're literally, Casey Krueger has been one of the best fullbacks in the league. She plays, she is a better fullback than Kelly O'Hara and Emily Sonnet and is not on the roster. She is a freaking alternate. You have Lynn Williams, who has been balling for club and for country. Even when she doesn't have ideal conditions because the fullback behind her for the national team refuses to be a fullback and they continue to move all over the place. Right. Now, I can understand where Lynn to a point is an alternate because Tobin Heath is back healthy. And you can slot Kristen Preston and you got Megan Rapinoe. However, Carly Lloyd has still been slower in actual practice, has been disruptive, actually, in fact, in terms of the offense of her team. Like, Gotham looked like a totally different team without her on the field. Y'all ain't ready to have that conversation?
The movement was there. Up front was, I mean, I saw it right in front of my face.
And so it's like, yeah, I know Lynn didn't finish chances, but she did what you needed her to do. And honestly, you should have tried to play her as a nine at some point. Also with Christy Mewis to see if they could be the backup people. But fine, you want to sit there and give Carly Lloyd, whatever, one more hurrah, whatever. But what doesn't make sense is Midge Purse, who plays on the same team with Carly Lloyd, who has played actually as a nine, has played on the wings, has done it way far more superior, better than Carly Lloyd in club play. When she gets the chance to play in national team play, she's played as a defender and she's played as a forward. She actually has been one of the best forwards, period. Mm-hmm. That you even got to ask the question, do you even take Megan Rapinoe? Because Midge Purse is out here balling and can be a defender.
Right.
Like,
I think in particular for me with Midge, I'm just like it. And I think a lot of people alluded to this and I get really, and I think I said this last week, like I get really pissy about the Crystal Dunn narrative, right? Oh, well, she got cut and it made her better. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
She was better. That's my argument with Midge Purse. Like, she may very well go on to be the MVP of the season. She's obviously playing with a lot of anger and fire in her belly. Like, all of it. I get that. But she was good anyway. And it makes more sense to take somebody who can play in more spots, like Midge, who's better on the ball, like Midge, than some other players. Like, I just, particularly players you don't seem to trust when it matters the most.
Right.
And I don't know what the measure is, right? If it's to be good for club, it's just good for club. If it's to be good for country, she's good for country, right? She doesn't get cooked a lot. She scored a goal. She's had an assist. She's active in the box, right? Like, all of the things that you're asking somebody to do, and no, she's not going to be perfect, but again, neither are the people you took instead of her. Right. So I'm just like, I don't know what the measure is, right? And this idea of wait your turn, it's different rules for different people. And with rare exception, it seems to be the Black players.
Yep. Like, we're not doing this shit for the white players.
Right. In fact, I would argue they get so many chances, right? The argument that, well, Lynn Williams gets a million chances. I'm like, so do a whole lot of white players.
Right. And if we're going to sit here and have the resurrection story for Christy Mewis, then, okay, fine. Then where is Sydney LaRue better be in camp next time? And Mallory Pugh better be in camp.
Right.
Like, because, like, what are we doing? Because at this point, it's like, you told us we're going to watch these games and we're going to see XYZ happen. Mm-hmm. And then Midge Purse isn't on the fucking roster. What is the rubric? The goalposts keep moving. We keep changing things to fit a narrative. So, like, Blacko, do you have for real control of the roster or is it USSF?
Right.
That still wants to be really white.
And I mean,
that's a real question.
And I get not changing it a whole lot. Like, I get
it.
It's a pandemic. It's you want to go with experience, but like, there are other experienced players you didn't take.
Right.
Who are younger. There are other experienced players who can play multiple positions. You have a few too many players who only play in one spot.
Yep.
On this roster. So for all that experience, they can't move.
Right.
Now, the upside is we'll probably get away with it because other teams seem to be making not great choices in terms of roster selection, right? So we're not the only ones guilty of it. And I think everybody's being conservative because of the pandemic.
Right. But I'm still having, you still.
But I don't, I don't trust you to change it after either. Like, I have no trust in U.S. soccer.
Well, yeah, that too. But even in the case, Midge, it's hard to excuse how you, there's no justification on Midge because she's been in this pool the whole fucking time. And right. Like, if it's like, well, we got to figure out how she got to fit. Ye are about to spend 30 days together training right. for their lives. In the heat, preparing for heat, doing all kinds of shit, playing together to get the build, the chemistry. And so right. it's like, you have no excuse for her not to be included.
Right. And the idea that you're screaming about the talent of these women, but then you think that they can't figure out how to play together. That's weird to me. Like, they can figure it out. Like, it's not, they have 30, like I said, 30 days to build chemistry and half of them play together anyway. It's right. it's not complicated. It's not hard for them to incorporate one new player.
Right.
And into the system.
And Mitch was folding into the system. She was making the runs and falling right. into positions for everybody involved easily right. and smoothly. So there's no excuse for that. So yeah. I don't understand that. This is fuck shit.
Yeah.
I don't care. FCC can see about me. I don't care. It's a whole bunch of I'm so pissed off about that. Mid should be mad. She should bang the goalkeeper. She should go the fuck off the rest of the year. She better be back in the pool after the Olympics, though.
I would not be surprised if she either wins the MVP or is in the running. Like, I genuinely think she will have that kind of season. As a striker, by the way.
Yes.
And her teammates seem to feel the same way.
We saw you
very vocal. They were very vocal about it. It doesn't make sense in terms of who you actually pick. It really doesn't. And there was room for one more quote unquote new person. Like, I don't buy that, nothing else can change. Again, when not everybody's contributing anyway. I'm confounded and the goalpost moves. And I have yet to hear a good explanation. So,
right, because even from a goalkeeper standpoint, like, you got a goalie who just jumped in the box as your alternate.
Yeah, but we kind of knew she was going, right? So again, shocking. I might have made different choices.
If I'm Bledsoe, I'm pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm Casey Mercy, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, because I was in the conversation. Yeah. I think there's more than a few people, but I think above all, I think Mitch Purse has the argument. Having said that, I'm excited Kat gets to have the experience.
Yes.
She's close. I think playing with better front lines would probably be beneficial to her.
Yes.
I think it's going to be interesting. Hopefully it's just buying time because you realize you're going to have to build a team around different skill sets now.
Yeah, it's going to get real black. But like, what they got to come to recognize is it's coming. The talent is coming like a choo-choo train out of hell. It's coming for your forehead. It's coming, y'all. Like, it's going to get bliggity black. And it's got to happen.
Before the end of the year.
And I hope they understand. I hope some of these white players are understanding who aren't super versatile and Father Tom has caught up that how... Ashlyn and Allie got faded. Some other players got faded. Your time will probably come in the next year.
Yeah.
Because you can't sit here and tell me Trinity Rodman ain't going to be on the roster. You can't sit here and tell me, even Shimon Charlie ain't going to appear in camp. You can't sit here and tell me, like, Sidney LaRue isn't coming back.
Or Mal Pugh or the defenders that are coming, right?
Yeah, the defenders.
Assuming that her ACL heals, she'll be there. Emily Fox is coming.
Emily Fox.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Emily Fox
is a serious upgrade. So from a fullback situation.
She's very good.
She's really good. So it's like
Andy Sullivan will be back. Like, yeah, there's just people coming.
You can't sit here and go, we can take the same thing. You can't take this to the World Cup.
The game of soccer has changed. You can't play Abby Wambach ain't walking through that door. And even if she was, the world would just cross her up. Like, if the game has changed, right?
Right.
So,
and so you also got to
mindset,
keep
this American sort of, this is how we play soccer mindset. No, it's not.
It can't be that way. Because you got to keep in mind, for Nigeria, didn't have all their starters.
Exactly.
Jamaica was missing Bunny Shaw.
Exactly.
Portugal was missing people.
Right.
Brazil was missing people. Like, several teams were missing people that they played. France didn't have most of the roster.
Right.
They can whip you, shawty.
Bunny Shaw's a really good example of, like, yeah, that's what a nine looks like now. Who is that for us? Because it ain't on the roster currently.
Well.
Right. And Man City currently has the nine that we have, and they went and got Bunny Shaw. So do with that what you will.
Well.
Because they understand the game has changed.
Yes.
And they have embraced speed in a league that doesn't. So that should be very interesting. And I think as the world catches up, we need to go ahead and hit the nuclear button.
You got to.
And go. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Oh yeah. So we'll talk about that in a later episode where the roster's coming, y'all. Yeah. But let's talk about LFG. Let's fucking go. That documentary.
Like I said, you finished it. I did not, but sure, we can talk about the parts.
Yeah. So this documentary followed players from the U.S. Women's National Team, particularly involved, I guess, on the Players Council, or where basically they filed a lawsuit against U.S. Soccer,
right?
Their employer, on the premise of them not paying them equally. And so,
I saw the trailer
for the movie, and it looked like kind of like a little. It really didn't do justice for what the actual documentary is.
Yes.
And it was a cool documentary. I can tell U.S. Soccer totally has, like, it's a clown show. Because it's like, how did you not anticipate that they would have a camera crew and be filming all this shit?
Well, they had a press conference.
Yeah, and then, wait, no. I'm not even talking about the documentary. I'm talking about way before when they filed the suit.
Yeah.
How did you never not take this seriously to get legitimate lawyers and to do a variety of things to ensure you not are in some shit? Because before this documentary dropped at the Tribeca Film Festival a couple weeks ago, that's how I saw it earlier, before it dropped on HBO Max, they went and had a little press conference to try to dispute stuff. But I'm like, when I watched the movie, I was like, did they actually physically watch this documentary? Because you can't even do all that. Because what the documentary kind of alleviated is they cleared up the fact that people were confused about that FIFA does not pay prize money. They give federations around the world a bucket of money, and then the federations dictate how the money gets split between their teams.
Yep.
And so all the onus still falls back on U.S. soccer because they are not equally splitting the funds for the men and women. And they're not operating the same contracts.
Yes.
And then when they got a contract, basically they forced the women to effectively have to sign a contract that wasn't.
I would argue it was coercive, right?
It was a coercive situation.
It's not a true choice if you're holding people's feet to the fire. They're going to take the best of two bad options, essentially, which is what happened.
Yeah.
And again, listen, FIFA is quite possibly the most corrupt organization on the planet.
It's more corrupt than the NCAA.
They have more reach than this.
Okay. True.
Continue. And we know this because our former AG took down Seth Blatter. Because one of the US soccer officials turned Pope because he was collecting boatloads of money under the table, however you want to call it. And he wasn't the only one. I think one of the guys from Trinidad and Tobago, like, there were several. It was a little CONCACAF-y, and not in the good way or the fun way. But as corrupt as FIFA is, one smart thing they've done to try to keep their hands not as dirty is they don't pay money directly. Now, FIFA has their own equity issues. Absolutely, right? The women had to play a whole World Cup on turf. The men would never be asked to do that. But that's why they pay federations, right? They don't want any part in how you distribute prize money. Mm-hmm. And so USSF, there we go, has been beating the drum that it's on FIFA, it's on FIFA, it's on FIFA. And what this movie absolutely proves that it is not on FIFA. FIFA said, that's y'all's problem. Like, how you choose to split the money is a you problem, not a us problem. And that came pretty early in the documentary, as the lawyer explained, who said, I wouldn't have taken the case if I didn't think I could win.
Right. And so people got to understand that this is a civil suit. So,
yes.
So U.S. Soccer could have probably gotten out of this if they just would have paid them equally in the beginning.
Right.
But because they didn't, they're going to take this to trial and they're not going to settle this because there is. So what people don't understand, and I guess if you've never sat in a civil case on a jury, you should experience that because then you get an eye-opening experience of what law looks like, particularly from a civil perspective, that it's hard to try discrimination lawsuits like this because you have to have so much evidence. And it's kind of like, unless you have clear cut, somebody did XYZ in numbers, which they do, but there's a lot of stuff you have to lay out in depositions and materials to just break all the way down that it takes a lot to take people to court. And when it does come through, it's a big deal. Now, in this case, it's a precedent because no sports team, particularly women's side, has ever taken their employer to court to talk about equal equal working conditions on a professional level. And I don't even think really even across other industries, you've had a case on this kind of nature. So it's going to set a precedent across the board that effectively, if this, when this goes to trial, because it's not if, is when it goes to trial in court, the evidence is so egregious. The depositions, like I said, the U.S. soccer did not take it seriously.
Bad.
It's a sideshow. It's such a bad, it like put,
it's,
like,
it's, I've never, it's arrogant. It's straight arrogant.
It's like it's the epitome of like when you sit there. It's like you don't take, when you don't take law stuff seriously like this, particularly in a deposition, and you do stuff where you effectively prove the point of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
They did that on a bajillion. And even particularly talking about that, the deposition from what was that, Carlos, where they talked about.
Oh, yeah. That's how Carlos lost his job.
Where we went in saying that women are inferior to men from a biological standpoint.
The biology argument was
that
wild.
when you go that, when you have your counsel allow you to do that in a deposition and you allow them to collect that stuff as evidence to present in a course case, you're going to lose the case and you're going to set a precedent and then you're going to have to pay them at some point. It might take a long time to get to it, whatever. But the point is they're never going to settle because it will set a precedent that will have mad ramifications across the sports world and other industries because you'll never get away with justifying, oh yeah, we pay people whatever, not equitably because da 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 da. No.
And the players talk about that, right? Like the idea that this is, I think Pino said it, Press said it, like the idea that this is so much bigger than their fight, right? Because ideally, if they win this case, I'm thinking, particularly corporate America.
Yep.
Like, there's no way they want this to go to court, right? This is bigger than U.S. soccer.
Yes.
Because if these women win, and they're the almost the perfect case, right? The perfect plaintiffs, if you will, because they play the exact same sport as their male counterparts and are much more successful and do not hand me, oh, the men have to play in front of fans from Mexico. Like, the women can't lose.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if we finish second, it's abject failure.
Yes.
We can't lose as other teams are getting better around the world and have this talent because of our dominance, right? They've pushed themselves and they've invested money. And they talk about in the movie, it's not just the U.S. Federation. This is happening everywhere. I think they showed a clip of like the Nigerian women doing a sit-in, all these other countries. You know, we know what's happened in Brazil when Marta spoke out at the World Cup, et cetera, et cetera. But like, we're the standard. I would argue in terms of team sports, is this not the most dominant team on the planet?
Yeah, it is.
At least currently speaking, like, and not that we win every single time, but when we don't, it's a disappointment.
Yeah, and it's got bad ramifications.
We fire people, right? Like, we do all sorts of stuff.
But I mean, and aside from that, like, they have to win because it's the means of making money.
Yes.
And any shortfallings of PACs impacts them making money, having livable conditions. And then because of all this mess is all tied together, it impacts the club play. Like, and then you then see it play out because they're not getting treated equitably on a national team level from the professional league. They're playing, they're living off of wages that are unacceptable. Like Jessica McDonald talked about how she's still working multiple jobs.
Yes.
Even when she is still in the U.S. Women's National Team pool and allocated.
Right. She made a That's World crazy. Cup. She's won league championships. She won two national championships. She played for the Tar Heels, right? The most storied program in the history of college soccer. All of these things. And she talked about she was living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. And so you got all that happening. And then on top of that, like, you... Like... You have all this, like you have to, they have to do so much work in the meantime to stack things relevant to the case.
Right.
Like they're having to make sure they have, they're elite mentally, they're elite physically.
Right.
But then they're having to invest all this time and energy for a case.
Right.
Where they're spending all day going through old stuff, dotting I's, crossing T's.
Right.
Preparing for stuff that like
there's like, no
it's insanity.
There's no downtime. And on top of that, right? So they're doing all this work to help stack the case. And particularly for the most famous of them, right? Are doing all of these other things because that's how they make their money, right?
Yeah,
they have sponsors that they have to appease. They have talk shows that they have to go on, right? Some of us wrote a book, right? Like just other things that they have to do to make up the money that they're not making. A, in the league that until this year was attached to U.S. soccer, and for their national team, because you simply won't pay them equally.
Yeah.
And it's because you don't want to. Like, it's not deeper than that. U.S. soccer does not want to pay them.
So it's crazy because then what also gets lost in the documentary, it's cool the interaction between Crystal Press and Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
That you see, like, how draining it is. And what they did talk about, so Megan Rapinoe, Kristen Press, Tobin Heath, Bank Clean Work have a company called Re-Ink. And so they're actively, it's a whole legitimate startup company. And like they work for full time. And Kristen is CEO. And so they're both talking about their crazy days. Like they go practice in the morning and then they're working until late at night doing stuff for the case. And then effectively also to make money. And it's like, you don't have to do it. Men don't have to do this foolishness.
No, not at all. And I mean, they're not the only ones, right? I know Alex has a company and some other people have, you know, other things going on. I know that in particular, Megan and Kristen, and I think Sam and Jessica and Kelly and Becky, right? We're in the documentary.
Yeah.
Featured pretty heavily. I mean, other people come and go, but there's a group of them that they focus on. And fun fact, U.S. soccer declined to be part of the documentary.
Right,
the very
right.
first thing that's on the screen before they start showing faces. But yeah, it's just, you don't ask the men, like the women are doing more work. It's not even equitable. They should be getting paid more if we're keeping it above. Because the men don't qualify for stuff all the time.
Not at all.
Like, oh, that's sad. And maybe we get angry and maybe we fire Jurgen Klinsmann. But like in the grand scheme of things.
It's pathetic.
Like, it's not an expectation. You cannot tell me on the national team level that they have the same level of expectation. They absolutely do not.
Right.
And until very recently, and I suspect part of it is because you have a younger generation of guys coming into that team, until very recently didn't necessarily have the bat of the women whose revenue they're sharing, right? Like,
right.
They're making the money.
Right.
So,
and then
the fans seem to understand it. That's how you get the equal pay chance.
And then it was crazy that, like, U.S. soccer was in trying to argue, well, they made more money than the men. They had to win so many games.
Mm-hmm.
As the men lost a bajillion games, that they made a little bit over the men. But they had to win all their games. The men lost games and still made about almost as much money. That is crazy.
And they talk about that too, right? Because the lawsuit is filed before the World Cup, right? So they have all of the stress of the lawsuit while they're playing. And they talk about, like, we can't lose.
You can't lose.
Oh, shit. We can't lose this. We can't lose the World Cup. We have to win. Otherwise, it's going to completely invalidate our case. It shouldn't, by the way.
Right.
But they know in their mind, if we lose this World Cup, everybody's going to dismiss this.
Yep.
We have to win to get everybody behind us when it's a basic human right. Like, if you do equal work, you should get paid equally. If you do more work, you should get paid more, right? Yeah. That's the premise we're told that capitalism works on. Debate that amongst yourselves. But yeah, it's just, it's a mess. And U.S. soccer communications was just spiraling the day the movie came out on HBO.
They had 17 Max. Tweets.
You didn't, one of 17. And we were all like, we're not reading that.
They had 17 tweets. I'm like, did y'all watch the movie?
I know
y'all got sent it. No, they didn't.
It's the a whole same argument show. They always make, right? And other people who are lawyers who also follow the women's national team made that point, right? They're like, this is the same argument y'all have been making. I personally hope it goes to court. I really do.
Yeah, I think it will go to court. They're going through appeals. It should go. Because the judge, his ruling is based on his opinion. Yeah, it's going to go to court. It's a matter of what circuit is going to appear and go to trial. Right. But yeah, that if you haven't watched it, make sure you watch that documentary. It's on HBO Max. It's deep. It's educational. You even hear some of the stuff that the 99ers went through.
Yeah.
They were in horrible working conditions.
Fouty was I forgot. Yeah.
That is really disturbing. And it's crazy as a professional athlete. I mean, I'm thinking back to how, I mean, I'm seasoned. And I'm thinking about, like, part of why I walked away from even thinking about playing college sports is because, like, the lack of investment. It's like, I'm not going to bust my behind.
Well, and we've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it with the women. We saw it at the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, like, you see it and you're like, man. And this thing, the stuff they're going through today is way, way better than what was happening in 2004. So it's like.
And
it's
they still have to have a lawsuit, right?
Yeah, you still got to have a lawsuit in 2021. And it's like. Y'all think this shit is okay? Like, what the fuck? But make sure you watch that documentary. Check it out. Pay these women equally.
Yes.
Do better. Be better. Jesus Christ, man. It makes no sense. But anywho.
Yeah. What a
week. Let's get into, we're going to talk about the hits and riffs.
Yes.
Because we need some. Well, we got some rants and rights, but let's get into the hits and riffs of the week. Okay. So, let's see. Am I going to go first or you going to? Oh!
I think I went. You went first last week, so I'll go first.
Okay! Let's go!
So, my yesterday turn up, I did not watch the BET Awards. Sorry. Pull my card if you must. But the timeline always lets you know what's happening.
Yeah.
But yesterday, they honored the Queen.
The Queen!
Dana Owens, Queen Latifah.
Let's
go! So my turn up is Ladies First. With Queen Latifah and Moni Love. I don't know if I can explain Moni Love to people of a certain age. but yes, Queen Latifah, before she was anything, was a rapper and a damn good one, by the way. Please don't let all the other Hollywood stuff fool you. Queen Latifah could flow. Foxy Brown made that mistake one time. That was interesting. She had to remind her of that, but also can sing, is also an actress, like, honestly, one of the most successful hip-hop artists we've had.
Yes.
And I stand Queen Latifah anyway, always and forever. She deserves all the flowers that she is going to get, for the rest of her life, so, and is a hustler, had a talk show, like, literally, just a mogul.
Living single?
Yes, Khadijah. So yeah, that's my turn up, though not necessarily in the vein of today. And then my quiet storm, a little blue-eyed soul, it's Breaking Me by Johnny Lang. I prefer the acoustic version, but that's a damn good song. So Johnny Lang is a white boy who plays the blues and has for quite some time since he was a teenager. He's from he's from somewhere random, like Idaho, North Dakota, something like that. But the boy can play, and he's got that gravelly voice, and he stays in his lane. He doesn't appropriate. He just really likes to play the blues. But yes, that album that's on is one of my favorite albums, but that's a really good song. So Breaking Me by Johnny Lang, and it's J-O-N-N-Y. Yeah. So what you got?
Okay, so my yesterday turn up. So initially, for my turn up, I had Tupac, Hartsman. That's one of my favorite songs by Tupac. But then, yes, I forgot Queen Latifah got honored at the BET Awards.
Yes.
And so one of my favorite songs by her is Dance For Me.
Ooh.
Because, like, I started doing the whole dance. Like, that's a whole vibe, that video. One of my favorite songs.
Picking through a few different songs, but I went with the one everybody was.
Ooh wee! I can't wait to put the music on this. And my Quiet Storm. Is all this love is waiting for you. We might be doing backup vocals for me. We gotta be on beat. We gonna have to get a metronome.
Yeah,
to be in sync.
It's hard to do over recording.
Oh yeah,
two different places. I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
But yeah, All This Love by The Barge.
Yes.
The parents of Trey Young.
El DeBarge got a lot of kids. He might.
Well, he looked like y'all be saying that man look like Trey DeBarge.
He does. He does look like.
He does though.
He does look like a DeBarge.
My light skinned brother. But yeah, All This Love by DeBarge. It's all for you, boo. I see you out there, girl.
Okay.
Okay, I'm wilding. I'm gonna behave. But yeah, ignore that. you know who you are though. But All This Love. That's one of my favorite songs.
It's a good one.
I almost had the other one. I didn't want to do that. I might do that.
Dream. Okay, sorry.
My bad. Do this today.
Okay, my today. Okay, I'll do my Quiet Storm first. So my Quiet Storm for today is Soundproof Room by O Liar. Mm-hmm. Listen, I like to send the kids out in heat. So it's hot out, why not? It's a good song. Like Elle Barner, when I really like her stuff, when I like her stuff, I really like it. When I don't, I don't. But that's one of the songs I really like. And then my turn up, not a super fast one, and not super new. I have Hate on Me by Jill Scott. And I encourage Bitch First to use that song.
Let's go.
Anytime she wants to. Cause let them hate on you, sis. You golden. That's another Jill Scott song, but that's right. It wasn't on purpose, but I don't know. I heard of it and I just thought of her. So that song gets me going when you want to be angry. So I hope it helps soothe her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. So for my turn up for today, it's actually today. So Logic dropped the album because he came out of retirement. So he dropped a song called Relaxation that's to the beat of Electric Relaxation by A Tribe Called Quest. Mm. And his freestyle, it's so reckless, but I so vibe with it. Young Sky was a problem. Let's just leave it like that. Go check that out. It's a good.
Okay.
And then actually check out Electric Vibration by A Tribe Called Quest. And then my other turn up for today, because I just be at, I don't care. Having Our Way by Migos featuring Drake. That's like my summer theme song, particularly Drake's verse. I be out here. The mellophones or the French horns and whatever horns going on that song, just be like, whoa, it's greatness. And then my Quiet Storm of today, it ain't today really, I don't care, but Lately by Tyrese.
That's a good one.
Lately, have I told you I love you?
Lately.
Have I told you you still mean the world to me? Okay, anyway.
He went through it.
That's before, yeah. But that whole album, I love that first album.
It's a very good album, actually. Yes.
I don't want no.
This is a post Coca-Cola commercial, Tyrese.
No, it makes me feel the way that you do. Or even Sweet Lady.
You be my
Sweet Lady.
Sweet love
for a lifetime. I'll be you.
Okay. We are butchering it. Yo, but fun fact, Tyrese used to sing for Coca-Cola.
So yeah, he did. Yeah. Do y'all remember that?
I remember.
If you don't remember that, you might not have even been born. Don't answer that, y'all. Just keep it to yourselves.
I feel like that happened before Sophia Smith was born. So there we are.
Wow.
or really close to it, probably.
Probably.
I mean, we're at that point in life, fam.
We're old. Wow. Yeah, I did that. Anyway, so let's go to these rants and raves.
I guess
you go first.
Yeah, I guess mine will be pretty quick since I sat through the game this weekend. we gotta have breathing room in the schedule to either change the start time of games or reschedule games. So the Rain Gotham match and for sure the Chicago Louisville match probably should not have been played, simply because I don't think you're ever going to get the best soccer, right? And I understand elements are part of the game. We play outside, but that heat was atrocious. Like, it just, again, yeah, I got a tan, but like there was a time when I was woozy. Like, I happened to get a cup of ice, but like I was spending ridiculous amounts of money on cold beverages. Like, it's just, it's unnecessary. And like the quality of the product suffers in the league that you're trying to sell, right? Mal Pugh shouldn't be sliding into a barrier because she made a normal soccer play, right? Alyssa Nair literally can't make a save because there's mud under her foot, right? Or there's like water. The ball is going to skid. Like, you can't pass well. There's tornado warnings, right? There's nothing you can do about a tornado. If it comes, everybody's screwed because you're in an open pitch. Like, it's just, and it's not good to your fans who paid money for a product. Like, it's just not a really great way to sell your league when you should have enough flexibility in your schedule to make up games, particularly in a pandemic. Like, did we not think of that?
No, we didn't. You know,
like, did we not build in games, right? I know the Premier League had to do it. Yeah, it was absolutely miserable, right? All these games people had to play back to back when you're considering other cups and things that they're competing for. But at the end of the day, like, you have to have room in your schedule to be able to move things around, right? When there's an unprecedented heat wave, like the Northwest has never been this hot ever, like not in anybody's living memory. Mm-hmm. And while tornadoes are par for the course in the Midwest, like, that's not the time to play a soccer match. Particularly when you have people on that pitch who are possibly getting ready to represent their countries or go to camps or whatever else. Like, it's just, it's a bit reckless on the part of the league. I think you have to have caveats. We were suffering, right? And there weren't particularly watering stations or things like that, things that we had been promised and we were told by the league that's still within the acceptable range of playing. And I saw those players, their hands were on their knees. They were exhausted. Like, they could not play their best soccer. And that's just not the product you should be selling. So I think as a league, particularly as you add two more teams next year, you need to be able to build in for that stuff. Because global warming's real and it's not going to be the last time. So, right. Yeah.
Okay. So my rant's going to be quick.
Okay.
I currently live in the state of California. For the love of God, can y'all please fix these roads? So I got a hoopty. So I couldn't drive my hoopty from point A to point B where I wanted to go Friday because I had to be considerate that I paid off this car and is trying to act a fool. But the roads are real bad. Anyway, we need to fix these roads because the highway should not be looking like shoulders in other states. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could see the lines of the asphalt, it's time to re-line the pavement. And so it's a problem because even sitting on the highway, going to where I was going on Friday, it was like accident after accident. Mm-hmm. And then if you weren't in the fast pass lane, whatever it's called, the lane, that shit, the toll road, then you were crawling and going so slow. And I mean, there are times where I've lived in cities like Miami, where it's just too many people in a certain space and the streets aren't built for the amount of people. And I-95 is still under construction several hundred years later, whatever. That's one thing, because Miami is only a big Los Angeles for the most part, unless you're in the proper portion of it. Like, there is no excuse for all this traffic. If you just fix the roads, you could go such a long way.
Yeah.
Because it would help, because people can't drive. People be getting scary. People be driving below speed limit. Yeah. If you're going 30 miles an hour on a 60 mile an hour highway, we got issues. We got to do better.
Yeah.
We got to be better. I keep having to say this about California. Yeah.
I feel well, and I felt that because I had to drive on I-5, and let me tell you something, that drag between like Seattle and Olympia, I'm like, why is there so much traffic near Olympia on a Saturday? Like, there's no reason, there's nothing happening. Why are we all out at the same time? Why are we braking on the highway? So like, I was just very confused. Yes, I feel you on the traffic, but yours sounds way more egregious.
Yeah, it's really bad, because it's like, can y'all please go to speed limit? Because if y'all go to speed limit, that's why sometimes I only begin the highways. People think I'm crazy because I'm like, look, I can beat people on the streets because I got my streets. Because my mama taught me well. to know my back roads. So I got all the streets to get to everything, and I can beat you to places. And it's like, now that everybody's, now that the pandemic doesn't exist, even though there's a variant and you need to have your mask on, people are out here in these streets all over the place. And it's like, you got to drive the speed limit. It can't be worse traffic than what was before the pandemic. I literally had to leave my house on Friday, like way before. I think I left. I fortunately got out by three. Fortunately, I did. There was multiple car accidents to where I was going. And it took an hour for a drive that literally should have been, it took about an hour and 20 minutes. That literally should have been 20 minutes. And it's like, you cannot be serious. But anyway, please, California, do better, be better. Please, I don't want to talk about driving and me having to struggle with my hoopty. This part where I'm like, I'm not getting a new car until things can happen better.
Yeah.
Because I'm not about to be upset because my five car got messed up because the roads ain't worth a damn.
That's anyway. Fair.
Yeah. All right, I'm done.
So all right, let's
get to the race.
Yeah, let's get through the rest of this. Honestly, I think we could just start just Shea Butter vibes all around. This was the week in soccer for the Black girls, man.
For the Black girls.
Truly, just out here stunting. I should say, the whole week. Just out here shining, proving our point. We beat this drum every week. This is why we have the podcast, right? To highlight this talent that the rest of the soccer world doesn't seem to want to highlight, but it's coming and it's in your face, and you can't talk about this weekend without talking about Black players. So, get used to it. So that's that. And I'll run through the rest really quickly. Obviously, Olympic qualifying is going on for track and field, and might be the blackest sport we got. So shout out to Sydney McLaughlin, who set a new world record in the 400 meter hurdles. Her finishing speed is absolutely ridiculous. And shout out to Dalila Muhammad. They push each other in a way that I think is so pure in terms of sports, right? They don't, it's a competition, but not a rivalry. They got nothing but love for each other and their teammates at the end of the day. But they keep breaking records every time they race each other. And I think that's beautiful. I think Ma, who's 19, I think, and just blistering the pace here in the 800 is likely going to win a gold medal or should certainly be on the podium. Gwen Berry, shout out to you. So I guess she's most famous for, she finished third in the hammer throw, which means she will go to the Olympics. Yep. But the photo is of her turning her back during the national anthem, and there's some conversation because technically I guess they don't play the anthem but once, and she didn't know it was being played, but she's also very unapologetic and had an activist athlete shirt on. And as if you don't know, the Olympics has banned certain words of protest in terms of athletes being able to wear them at certain times during the games, and terms like Black Lives Matter, things of that nature. Suspect at best, right? And the Olympics, of course, has a long history of stifling protest from its athletes. So shout out to you, Gwen Berry, for standing in your truth. And congratulations on going to the Olympics. And then, obviously, the GOAT herself, Simone Biles, and Jordan Chiles are two Black girls who have qualified for the Olympic roster in artistic gymnastics. So, and Jordan Chiles is a member of Simone Biles' gym. So I fully believe that Simone Biles is just going to take over the Olympic team in the next couple of cycles.
Yep.
It's just going to be gymnasts from her gym and only her gym. So that's one way to do it, right? She doesn't have a whole lot else to do. Apparently she's human. She had herself a day yesterday, but that's just to remind the rest of us. So congrats to everybody who's qualified for the Olympics and keep going. All right.
So shout out some people.
Yes. As always, to the fam, so Can I Kick It podcast, 2 Cents podcast, had a really good episode with Sarah Toussaint this week, who is one of the owners of the North Carolina Courage, and as well as, I forget the brother's name, he's a reporter, talks about covering soccer. I think the episode just came out today, so please check that out. Same for the Culture podcast, they dropped a new episode this week. As always, you can see the tags on our Twitter feed. And then Protagonist Podcast as well, for always having our back, and the Alliance Podcast Network. Those are all the shout outs I have.
Diaspora United.
Oh, of course, the other podcast. who have a new episode that dropped today, so check that out. They also talk about the Olympic roster. I'm sure, just as insightful. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, check out all of those. Support as always, Black folks in soccer. And then,
oh, so next week, I guess, yeah, we need to talk about. So next week, let's see, we're gonna talk about these NWSL matches that happened, the send off series, and the cookage that I expect the Mexican national team to do to, yes, the right back position. I said what I said. Maybe we will do the second portion of the SBFC VHS film sessions.
Yeah.
We'll see. Word on the street is that people were slandering a certain delegate.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the 2016 Olympics, and particularly that last game. Because people have forgotten.
People so much have, happened.
There's a lot that happened in that game, and we need to talk about it.
I've been holding it for 5 years. So
maybe we at least even talk about, if we can find that game, the Columbia game too. Anyway, and so then we might look at our top 10 lists for hybrids when we finally get.
Yeah.
We're going to do hits and riffs and rants and raves regardless.
Yes.
But anyway, before we bounce.
Yes.
I just got to say.
Okay.
Well, so I was a little bit shook on Friday and because some unexpected thing happened. But I just want to say, yo, thank you for that. And yo, we both appreciate you too.
Immensely. Yes.
So yo, keep balling and shining. They know who they are. And we,
yes. And yes, we appreciate the appreciation. That's why we're here. So yes, much love. Thank you to everybody who supports us and listens to us. Every week we see our numbers growing. We're working on some things. We're trying to be more professional here because y'all seem to like us. So bear with us as we get ourselves together. But yeah, we're here for the culture as always.
Yeah, yeah. So things are coming as they should be. Anyway, so well, we ain't gonna handle FCC violations, but anyway, for now. But anyway, yes. Stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bonds are always elevated.
Have a great week, y'all.
Peace out.